Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Peanut Butter Promise Power Encouragement Podcast. My name is Steve.
I'm Charlene.
And I'm Dayton.
Hey, Dayton. You are a family man. You own a house and everything. Have you ever had a leak in your sink?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you put a bucket underneath the sink, right? And it's drip, drip, drip. And you go back in a couple of hours, not much in the bucket, right?
Right.
Drip, drip. Next morning you come, the bucket's half full. And all of a sudden, bang, you kick that thing and the bucket falls over. We're going to be talking about the principle of integrity. It's like that. It takes you an awful long time to build it up. And with one kick of the bucket, you lose it. It's one of our seven principles of the Peanut Butter Promise we're going to be talking about. But we're going to review in Peanut Butter Promise Power Encouragement Podcast number one. We talked about the Peanut Butter Promise, which says that you were born totally equipped with every talent, ability, and gift to fulfill a God-given purpose. We talked about the seven powers, which were purpose. Mm-hmm. We each talked about fulfilling our calling, that our purpose is our identity, mm-hmm. our who, not necessarily our do. We mm-hmm. talked about passion, plan and action, perseverance, personal development, a positive attitude. And then we had that great story about Green Bay Packer fans who can be a little bit out of whack from time to time. But we're going to talk about the seven principles of the Peanut Butter Promise today: integrity, responsibility, self-discipline, excellence, cooperation, communication, and association. Integrity. You know, this is one of those things I wish that I could have come to grips a little earlier in life, the importance of integrity. Charlene, what comes to mind when you hear the word integrity?
I remember, you know, with my kids, teaching them when they were little that if you say you're going to do something, make sure you do it. And if you don't say you're going to do something, it's better than saying it and then not ever performing it. But it used to come out in the apology. If they got caught doing something, it's, oh, Mama, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Well, don't say you're sorry until you mean I'm going to not do that again. Because if you say you're sorry, that's fine. Those are just words. But you put action with that word. You back up what you say. And that's integrity. So if you say you're a person of integrity, that means that I can trust you to back up what you say. If you tell me you're going to do something or you tell me that you can do something, I'm going to believe you because you perform what you say you're going to do. That's basically what the integrity lesson is.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing about integrity is if you live your life that way and you do screw up,
mm-hmm.
the person you've been honest with through this whole thing is way more likely to forgive you and work with you than if you've lied to them the whole time and suddenly you're not doing
well. Man, that is a great, great point.
Yes,
because relationships are built on trust, and trust can be built on truth. Mm-hmm. And you need to be truthful with each other. And I know at Peanut Butter Promise headquarters, that's what we stress an awful lot, that we will be honest with mm-hmm. one another, not hurt each other, you know, in our words and things before we speak, but definitely be honest with one another. And integrity, it's a broad word. It's a strong word. I mean, you have honesty, but integrity, I think, kind of talks about the whole issue of character. And it's something that we talk about here regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Responsibility. Responsibility means that we have to take responsibility. We have the ability to manage our responses.
Okay.
And I think that one of the real upticks to maturity, Dayton, is when people take responsibility. Have you ever known anybody in your family or your friends or worked with anybody that it's never their fault?
Never their fault. Couldn't have been me.
Right.
What are you talking about? It was that other guy.
Yeah.
I think with responsibility, too, not only for yourself, when you're a parent or a manager, you have to be responsible for those who've been put in your charge.
Yeah.
God put people in place for a reason, and you have to be responsible not only for your actions, but make sure that you're doing it for them and keeping them responsible in their actions as well.
I agree with you. When I ran my store and my employees, and when I wasn't there, I always told them, you know what, guys, if you do your job real well, they let me know. And if you don't do your job real well, they let me know. And I said, in either way, I answer for it. I answer for if you do it right or if you don't. So when you do your job, remember you're doing my job. You know, it reflects on me. I'm the one who runs the store, and I'm the one who answers for all of us. As a manager, you train them up so that you can say, you know, when I'm not there, I know they're doing the job the way I would do it.
responsibility, get out of denial. You know, in my whole 20s until I woke up in bad shape at the age of 31, I wasn't taking responsibility. And in that moment when I said, this is it, I guess this has happened to me. Again, something happens, something really neat happens. And if you look at people who are truly successful, they're not blaming the other person. You know, denial to them is not a river in Egypt. You know, I mean, they are saying, if it is to be, it's up to me. They forgive themselves, they forgive others, and they stop blaming everybody else. The third principle of the peanut butter promise is self-discipline. And you know this, and you know this, any of these people who are in the top couple percentage, they are extremely self-disciplined. Mm-hmm. Dayton?
Yeah. I mean, if it's a lot easier for me to sit and binge watch Netflix than it is to get up in the morning and go to the gym. I'll tell you that. It takes self-discipline to do that. But at the end of the day, you feel much better. You've accomplished much more if you can set that discipline into your weekly routine. And I always tell my wife when I haven't worked out for a couple of weeks and then I go work out, it's hard to get back into that routine, that discipline, but you feel so much better. Yes. You know, you're like, I don't want to go to the gym. Then you get done at the gym, you're like, wow, that was great. Why didn't I want to go to the
called
gym?
Called endorphins, right. I think.
Yeah, right.
Probably,
so, right. Something like you got to have that discipline to get off the couch and go do stuff.
Right, amen. Right. Amen. As well as your thinking. You have to really, really discipline yourself in the way you're going to respond and react to things. Your reactions to life itself and people. There's so many times where I can fall back on old nature ways, you know, and mm-hmm. think that happens one more time, I'm going to. Or you can tell yourself, you know what, that's them. That's where they're at right now. I'm just going to let it go. And when you get yourself into that place of thinking and training yourself to think through stuff before you react or respond to it, before you open the mouth, my husband always says, read what you wrote before you press send.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's it. I think that's a good way of looking at it.
And that's a good point she just made, that the self-discipline thing is about our emotions too. I was just reading something about, you know, in the fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Self-control is not necessarily being totally in control of everything, but controlling our thoughts,
making
our
choice too. Yeah,
and that is really cool. But you know, I really believe that every vision gets carried to its accomplishment through self-discipline. I think self-discipline mm-hmm. is the bridge across which dream goals go.
Mm-hmm.
Excellence. Oh boy, you know, Dad used to say, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. And the people who are doing well, they're doing what they're doing. Excellent, Charlene.
Exactly. Excellence is really important. I mean, it's not saying, Dayton, you got to be perfect. You know, I want everything perfect. You make sure your hair is straight. You make sure your clothes are not wrinkled. And, you know, you make sure you walk up straight, hold your book on your head and don't drop it. No, that's not excellence. That's perfection. Okay. Excellence is saying, you know what? This is what has been handed to me as a job. I remember taking care of my grandmother. And I remember going to her and saying, you know, how would you like me to help you? And the things that she asked me to help her with were not anything that I couldn't do. But when I got there, I did it with everything that was in me. I did it as if she was doing it herself, because I was helping her accomplish something she wanted to accomplish and achieve. So it was just putting my all into it and saying, you know what, I'll give you the best I have. I told Dad that one time when I was taking care of your dad and before he passed, you know, we were doing something and I said, he asked me a question and I just looked at him and I said, Dad, you know, I may not be the best person for this job, but I'll give you the best I have. And he looked at me and goes, that's what I know and that's all I want. You know, it wasn't so much that I was a nurse, but I was taking care of him and I was giving him the best that I had and it was working.
What do you think of when you think of excellence?
I think it's interesting watching people walk down the hallway at an office and there's a piece of paper on the ground and the guy, how many people will walk right past it?
Yep.
And then the guy who will actually bend down, pick it up and throw it away.
Yep.
That to me sparks excitement when I see somebody do that, because so many people don't.
Right.
And when you talk about excellence, it's in every little thing.
Yeah.
You can see it come out in people based in every action that they do.
Exactly.
And for me, that's what every day I try to do the best that I can, like you were saying. If I can't do the best, why am I even trying to do it?
Right, exactly. You know? And I do share that in the 7 Seeds of Service. I do share on that where, you know, I would watch my employees when I was hiring them. I had to purposely put stuff out of place, and I purposely have something laying on the floor to see if that person would walk by it or pick it up.
Yeah.
That told me that's the kind of employee I wanted to employ,
yeah.
And that helped them get a job. It's the guy who will pick up the Coke can when the Coke can's on the ground. You know, and yesterday we were out for a walk and my husband picked up two bottles off the side of the road, you know.
Yeah,
he knew I was watching him.
She put those there earlier in the day.
He thought he was being tested.
By the way, you know, and again, a word like this makes me nervous. Why? Because there's so many things I don't do well. So just concentrate on the couple things you do well and you'll be excellent. Right. Amen. Right? Mm-hmm. Cooperation. My brother Dale just got done working in corporate America. 40 years that guy was in the same corporate arena that you're in. And I am just amazed how he could cooperate with all those people. Mm-hmm. Tell us a couple of your keys as a manager, as a radio executive. Talk to me, teach me, and everyone in our audience about cooperation.
Well, one of the things that I know for sure is I am not the guy that has all the answers. Even though I'm the guy that's supposed to be at the top maybe and working with people, cooperation is the key to me being where I am today. I let people do what they like to do. I find out what they're good at, and that's what they're put in charge of, what they're passionate about. And then we all work together as a team. That cooperation, you can't be afraid to admit you don't know something and ask for help, because that will never get you anywhere. I am not the smartest person in the room, and everybody in the room will agree with that, I'm not the smartest.
Right.
You know, there's a lot smarter people than me. But that's where y'all get along and you all work together to use the best of everybody.
Right.
And that to me, cooperation is one of the biggest things that we can take advantage
Somebody of. Somebody said 85% of your joys will come from cooperating well with people and 85% of your grief will. It sounds pretty fair to me. Charlene?
Let people be themselves, you know, and you kind of hit on that is giving the ability to people to have room to learn and to grow just as you need it. You know, understanding that you're all in that place where we're in this together. Your gifts are this, my gifts are this, their gifts are that, and we're coming together and we're going to put all these gifts in the basket and we're going to give the best we can in these gifts. And the more we do them, the better we get.
And how do we cooperate? Through the next one, communication. They say there's four types of communication. There's reading, writing, listening, and talking. Mm-hmm. And they talk about how the body language can be the greatest form of communication. Right. Dayton's talking to me and I go, yeah, that probably means maybe I'm not interested, right? And how does Dayton feel when I'm going, okay, you know?
Ramble on.
Yeah, exactly. So my body language speaks just as loud as my mouth. And you know what really helps is when my actions back up what I'm saying. What a concept for us to practice what we preach. Rather unfair, Dayton, right?
We'd be expected to do that.
Come on. What? Which, in other words, listen to us, but don't watch us too close. That's what we're trying to say. Go ahead, bud.
Communication is so important. And especially in today's world, there's a lot of people working remotely now, and you just have to constantly be in contact. Reading before you hit send is a big one. You mentioned that earlier.
Yep.
I can't tell you how many emails I've been reading lately that have things missing out of them.
Right.
Or things spelled wrong. Right. Or just because people are just, they're just firing them off. They're not thinking. They're not communicating.
Well, Dayton, I'll try to do better on that. Just quit yelling at me here on national television. I could tell the way he was looking at me, talking about me. Go ahead.
So communication, I mean, you have to be clear and concise when you communicate in today's world. People are busy.
Right.
And so, yes, you're trying to be fast and get through things, but it's still smart to be consistent, to take a second to read through, to make sure you're actually saying what you mean to say.
Think it through.
I had a situation. This is a weird situation. I was at the gym, and I kept running into this guy at different machines. Mm-hmm. And then I turned the corner to go into the locker room, and his locker was right next to mine. And I said, man, we're really running into each other everywhere today. And he said, that's a really creepy thing for somebody to say the first day they met somebody. And I went, I'm sorry, I'm just saying we just keep getting in each other's way. That's all I meant.
Yeah.
And then he went, oh, okay, well, have a good day. But he thought I was hitting on him. I don't know what it was. But that communication, there was a gap between what I was just jokingly like, hey, we keep running into each other, and him getting weirded out about it. I'm like, So that communication's vital. And you've got to make sure people understand what you're trying to convey.
Exactly. Amen. Exactly. And timing is everything. When you're going to give a message to somebody, make sure they're ready to listen to you, right. That they're not doing the dishes or they're not busy doing something else, you know.
Yep. And the beautiful thing about communication is we can write, we can talk, again, listen. And how did they say that? God gave us two ears and one mouth. Pay attention to that. Last one is the principle of association. Coming up in our next podcast, we'll talk about the law of attraction as part of the laws of the peanut butter promise. Basically, this says if you hang with the wise, you'll become wise. Mm-hmm. If you hang with people who aren't quite where you want to be, you'll become like them. Association is very important, Charlene.
Right. When you have puppies playing in the mud and your children are wearing a white clothing, you're not going to send your children out there to make the puppies white.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen, point. Right? So.
Yeah. And I think Scripture talks about the fact that iron sharpens iron.
Right.
Yep.
And,
you know, people mm-hmm. together and two pigs, you go going in the slop with the pig, only one likes it.
Yep.
Association,
yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah. I mean, who you hang out with and what you read and what you watch, and that's all association,
yes,
too. And
is.
What you're putting into your mind definitely impacts the way you act and the way you treat others.
This has been the seven principles of the Peanut Butter Promise. Peanut Butter Promise says that you, and we mean you, were born mm-hmm. totally equipped with every talent, ability, and gift. Just the right personality, you got necessary desire to fulfill a God-given purpose. Those dreams, desires that you have in your heart, those that agree with your purpose, are meant to come true. And just as peanut butter would find jelly making a great sandwich, Peanut Butter Promise partners will come into your life to help you do your deal. So we definitely want you to come back here again, Dayton. People can find us on social media and become our friend. We need friends. That's why we're
like
doing
us,
this.
Like us, friend us, heart us, whatever it is.
We need friends.
Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, we're all over.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, until next time, I'm Steve.
I'm Charlene.
And I'm Dayton.
Have a great Peanut Butter Promise Day.